The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, have you ever heard the expression, "I feel you, brother," or "I feel you, sister"? Well, that's not too far off. We're supposed to be connected enough to the church that we feel one another for good and or bad. Next, the Four Musketeers have a great saying, "One for all and all for one." Hey there, you musketeer. You're part of an elite group of unified believers. You have special robes and special weapons like a sword. Christian tears. It's like musketeers, Christian tears unite. And finally, as believers, we all have a variety of callings, but there is one call that we all share every single day, the call to action. Being a family, we all need to pitch in and help all around our daddy's house.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. I think you guys got too much of that already. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. You can do it through the show. No biggie. While we're doing the show. If it's something that we can insert into the show, we will. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Live. It's right here. No volume, though. You can't call, but you can text me anytime. Plus, you can call in at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. This is a good one. Ready? If you call in at 972-445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone. And you know what that's like? That's like seeing your favorite scripture on a bumper sticker on a car that just goes by. Hey, come on, that's good, right? That's a good one. I like it. All right, so it's keeping it superbly simple. We can do this for any topic. Any topic is open for conversation. What I want you to be aware of is if you have something you want to share, something that's going on in your mind, something the Lord's working on, a praise report, a prayer request, something that you just noticed or something that you're just asking a question for. If it's not too deep, we'll try to answer it right away. If it's deep, we'll put it to the side and answer it later. Here's the bottom line. We also do Bible trivia. So here's the first Bible trivia for this segment. What did John the Baptist say when he first saw Jesus? Now, this is in reference to the Gospel of John. Ooh. What did John the Baptist say when he first saw Jesus? Pulling this out of the Gospel of John. This is what John the Baptist, Johnny B, that's what Johnny B said about JC when he first saw the Lamb of God. There you go. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. Our number here, 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Don't forget about our website. That is the place to give. We thank everybody who's been giving. We need as much giving as we can because our bills went up. Thank you. Our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we're asking people to kind of keep this question pretty straightforward. According to the Gospel of John, so if you don't have access to the Gospel of John, then what you got to do is think in your mind, what are some of the things that John the Baptist said when he first saw Jesus and the other disciples heard it? He said something very, very outstanding. What was that? If you think you know, reach out to us. Keep in mind, any topic, of course, is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. It's not even in the realm. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay. It's just a lot to cover, isn't it? It just seems like I'm feeling, one day out, it's like I'm filling in like all these gaps or something. What do you do? Okay, did the website. Hold on, I'm putting that to the side. I want to talk to you about something that's really important. Very, very, very important. I'm going to try and only read you one section of it, and then I'm going to just lay it on you, just tell you the way I see it as it goes. If nobody calls in on the trivia, I'll have T remind me, and I'll tell you what the answer is. All right, this is Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if we have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit. Okay, so I want you to hear this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Jesus, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if there's any tenderness or compassion in you, ooh, if there's any tenderness or compassion, that's a wow, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests only, but to each of you the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. All right, here comes the hammer. Don't get mad at me. There is one sin that does prevail in the church. Way, way too much. It is not a sin that gets addressed often enough. I've got somebody calling in, so I'll say what that is, and I'll kind of clear it out for you, but I want you to understand there is one sin, so you got to hang on. There's one sin that just prevails against the rest. You know what that is? It's the sin of self. Now, I'm going to tell you, I acknowledge right now, Satan has way too much influence on the church. He certainly has influence on the world. The world is certainly influential on Christians. No question about it. This is zero. You really can't argue that. The church has adopted worldly approaches, not just by presentation of the gospel, but by the standards of the world being thrust upon the church, okay, because of misinterpretation of Scripture. But all of that pales in comparison to one thing and one thing above all else. The sin of self, the self-centeredness of our existence, is everything that started in the garden that's been going on since, and not once has mankind in his fleshly self given up on it. Only the life of Jesus Christ, fully sacrificed for the benefit of others, not once for himself, selfish, but selfless, and the church and the things that we do are the opposite. The scripture says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Here you go. What is the mindset that Jesus Christ had towards you? And that's the mindset you're supposed to have towards your brothers and sisters. Well, what was his mindset? Well, He emptied himself, the rest of the verse tells us. He was the very nature of God. He was the very nature of God, didn't consider that something to be held on to, but emptied himself, made himself nothing, and took on the very nature of a servant, which is a human being, and did that for our – that's the level. The sin of self is the grandest sin that we encounter, and you need to stay away from the sin of self. Does somebody think they have an answer to the trivia question? Because if they do, nope, we'll wait on that. And then we'll come back to it. Do you want me to go to it? Okay, we'll go to it. All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Ace.
Hey, brother Ace. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Okay, so here you go. What did John the Baptist say when he saw Jesus, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 1? Big statement.
I don't know if you're looking for this, but behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
That is correct, sir! And I'll tell you why. In 20 seconds, I'll tell you why that's one of the most critical elements, because when John first saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, not behold the guy that we should follow as his example and do everything he says. He tells us in that Jesus, before he's anything else, is the sacrifice for our sins. And when we miss that, then we try to do a theology based on performance and not based on acceptance of God's redemption from our own selfishness.
Yeah, he would be like considered our kinsman redeemer, right? Because we had a sin debt we couldn't pay, and he's, as our brother, as part of the family, was able to redeem us from the devil and from the works of the devil and the sin of our lives, right?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the biggest things people miss too. Don't get me going on this because I don't have the time. But in the 19th century, they moved away from Christ being the redeemer to Christ being the model. And from that point on, that is actually how the political system changed into a socialistic system. It's amazing.
So it's
mind blower. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah, and so if it says the sin of the world, I've always looked at it as unbelief. That would be the greatest sin in the world.
Yeah, it is. It is for the world, but for individuals, especially as Christians, the sin of self is just the prevailer against, because you're so self-centered, you never think of anybody else. It's like, oop, that's a problem. You can't be.
Sounds like pride. Yeah. That sounds like pride. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you for your ministry.
All right. God bless you, brother.
You too.
Bye. Bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be far.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da-da-da, that's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.
There's no need to fear.
Murder Bear
come is here.
When Josh and Ash are feeling bum, plus all their friends are being dumb, that's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I haven't heard that Carter Beer one in a while. It's so funny. My wife and I were watching TV the other day. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess. There was, and so we were streaming on a particular thing, and we do like the nostalgic stuff. We like the old stuff. I mean, we're bad. We've sat in bed at 3 in the morning watching Green Acres and singing the theme together. I mean, it's just, you know, there's something wrong with it. There's something right with that, but then there's something wrong with that at the same time, you know. Green Acres is the place for me. Anyway, so the other day we saw a cartoon that said Underdog, and I thought it was the original Underdog. And I'm just like jumping up and down, and I'm really happy. And I clicked on it, and it was not the original Underdog. It was one that was done like 10 years after the original Underdog. So all the music was different, and all the storyline was just like, oh. So I like Underdog. Stop changing things. I like the way it is. All right. Thanks. See, these are the things that I go through. Wrong Underdog.
Just going through it.
Just, I'm telling you. Puppy, I'm watching the wrong Underdog. That's the issue. Okay. In what city was Jesus brought up as a child? The answer is in Matthew chapter 2. In what city was Jesus brought up as a child? People should know this. Kind of the calling card. I'm not going to say too much about that because I'm going to give people a chance to answer. And if you don't get that, I might give you a hint. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770 is the call-in number. 214-210-8483 is the text in. And then don't forget you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Okay, I have my joke. You ready for my joke? I can't not do a joke. It's just not allowed. Okay? All right. Now, this is a theological joke, so let's see if you can get this because it's kind of funny. A man dies and goes to heaven. Of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates. St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each of them, and depending how good it was, and when you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay, the man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, even in my heart. Well, that's wonderful, said St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, the guy says. Well, I attended church all my life. I suppose supported its ministry with my tithe and my services. Terrific, said St. Peter. That's worth a point. 1 point. Oh, how about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic, Peter said. That's good for 2 more points. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way I can get into heaven is by the grace of God. Come on in, Peter says. Come on, as he finally got it. Come on in. You can't have enough points, folks. That's a good one. That's good. It's like a theological, but it's like
kind of
tells you where things are at. That's right. Even our theology, we have to have humor. All right, what are we doing? Oh, our trivia question. Our trivia question, I think that was pretty straightforward trivia question. I hope I didn't tear up my trivia question piece of paper because I just tore up a piece of paper. What city was Jesus raised in? I believe that was the trivia question. I think I'll say it correctly this time. And what city was Jesus brought up as a child? If you know, you can call in or you can text in. You call in 972-445-0770. Text in 214-210-8483. What else were we supposed to do? We did website. All right, let's do the website real quickly. Don't forget, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so that's a good place to go to check out. First of all, you get to see a picture of Bert Well, a lot of you probably don't care, but there are some really good mini teachings on there that's 3, 4, 5 minutes long. So if you ever just want to hear something, try to get encouraged, you're welcome to go there and use it. You're welcome to share it with anybody. We don't care. It doesn't really matter. People try and spam or do weird stuff. We just keep everything protected. There's just no way of getting through. And then if you want to drop off a prayer request, you can just go to the website, fill out a form. Nobody gets that. It goes to my personal email, and we don't share that information with anybody. And it's also a place to give. Hint, give. Hint, give. Get okay. This subliminal message brought to you by
brought to you by David Spoon Experience.
That's right. There you go. I should have you just do a whole bunch of quips like that throughout the thing, then just push the button, push the button, push the button. That might drive you nuts, but it'd be funny. All right. Let's see. So we're gonna get into the rest of this teaching, which I want to get into, which has to do with understanding a little bit about the body. And so if you remember the very intro, I talked about feeling the body. So listen to what it says here in Romans 12, 9 through 16. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor for serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Let me tell you something that the body of Christ needs to do. I'd say a better job. It's not that we're so awful and the body of Christ can get destroyed. That's never going to happen. Jesus built the church. It's never going to die. That's never going to happen. It doesn't matter what anybody says. If the church doesn't do this, it's over. That's ridiculous. When people say stuff like that, just ignore it. Jesus said, I build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. That's it. So that's over. But we have things to do. We have responsibilities that God sets before us. We have actions that we need to take. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 16, probably is one of the best portions where it talks about how to handle or engage with one another. There's supposed to be a devotion to one another. There's supposed to be an honor to one another. When you pray for somebody before the Lord, even if they don't know it, that you're praying for them, you're honoring them. And that's what the scripture tells you to do. It's how we're supposed to do it. And if you're a giving person, we have people that give to our ministry all the time out of their own pocket, we appreciate it. And that's part of what they're supposed to do, because it says share with the Lord's people who are in need. Well, we need it. We don't have a jet. We're lucky I have a 4-cylinder car that makes it from Faith to Irving. That's all I'm going to say. You bless those who persecute you, which is their way of saying dealing with the world. Don't be all that surprised. Bless. And, oh, by the way, it says don't curse. Under everybody's breath, the people are saying, I wish those people would be swallowed up by the ground. Okay, that's kind of the cursing thing you're not supposed to do. Live in harmony with one another. Okay, got it. Get along with each other. Got it. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This is where you feel the body. You see, in the Christian realm, there's an intellect to our faith. We apprehend it through our mind, and what we really struggle to do, and tomorrow, not tomorrow, but Friday, I think I might be teaching about this. I'm not sure yet. But the integration between the mind and the heart's the biggest thing that we need to do. And in your mind, you know, I'm supposed to be, you know, happy for those who are being blessed in the Lord and being blessed in life by the Lord. And I'm supposed to weep for those who are really struggling, going through a hard time. But moving that from your mind to the heart is a big deal. It's a big process. And we're supposed to feel the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that when the same person in the same group of 50 Christians, when the same person every week gets up and says the same thing every week, about the woes of life. I mean, kind of everybody knows. Well, that's they live in their misery. Their victimhood is their happiness. I mean, everybody knows that. You don't even have to say it out loud. It's like everybody's mature enough. But when you see somebody's going through it for real, when we have somebody in our audience that's really hurting, when we have somebody that's going through pain or discomfort, when a friend of somebody is going through great pain and that person's stressed because of that, we're supposed to feel that in the body. I'm not talking about manipulators. I'm just talking about people who are general and real, and they go through tough times. And even though you know the Lord's going to get them through and take them to the next, the whole point of the basis of connecting as a body is to embrace their difficulty by sharing it with them, by being connected to them. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes certain believers who are genuine believers build a little bit of an altar to their pain. Okay, it does happen. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the brother or sister who's going through it, and you know they're going through it. And we need to pray and have a heart that says, gosh, Lord, help them. And that you then help carry their burden. I mean, that you're talking about a real sincere connection to the body of Christ. You can't be a Christian in the capacity of just being one in your house and with your friends and then have nothing else going on. You know, there's a saying, you know, remember where it talks about, you know, go into the highways and the byways to share the gospel? Half the people in our country can't get out of the driveways, let alone go into the highways and the byways. Are you kidding? You can't get past that little 4x4 concrete sidewalk thing. With nothing, no fence around it. Man, we got to do better than that. Right? The sin of self is a disaster because it's always self-centered focused for the Christian. But then feeling the body becomes essential and important. All right, I got to answer that trivia question? Okay. In what city was Jesus brought up as a child? Nazareth was the city. He was called a Nazarene. And that's when our good friends in John 1 said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the implication was no, and yet something, the best of all things, came out of Nazareth, and that was Jesus. Ah, there you go. That's all God does stuff. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the Scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right. We certainly have covered a lot of ground today, haven't we? But that's what's fun. I mean, what's great about live radio, you just never know. You just never know. All right, we got our trivia question. This is a classic. I'm going to tell you this right now. You may have to look it up, or you may know. You might, right off the top of your head, you could know it. You could know, and I hope you do. But it's not difficult to look up. But if you're not in a place where you can look it up on an app, or you're not in a place where you look up in a Bible, like if you're in a car, don't look it up. Okay? We don't want you, like when you're driving down the road and you're praying for somebody, we don't want you closing your eyes. Okay? Don't do that. I'm not even going to tell you a story that I can tell you about this woman that said I was driving and I just prayed and closed my eyes. It's like, wow. Okay. Don't touch that. It's hot. Anyhow, right? Can you say anything about that? What is the chorus in Psalm 136, which is repeated in every verse? So there's it says the verse, and then there's something that's repeated after every at the end of every verse. It's repeated. It's the exact same chorus. Comes out of Psalm 136. What is that? What is that that's said? What is the chorus that is repeated? Unfortunately, I have only the King James Version, but anybody that's come close is fine. I mean, let's see if you can come close to it. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. 21, that's what you call in, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Let's get ready for a little bit of history. Yes, Ray?
Let's go live.
Okie dokie artichokey. So we got our history. As soon as I find out what I did with that paper, I'm dropping papers left and right. Okay, today we got somebody calling in. That's good. So this will make it easier for me to get through this. Today is National Pecan Day, which is good. I like pecans. I happen to be, for those that don't know, I happen to be a pecan pie is my favorite pie. Okay, I like all the other pies. And it's not that I don't like pumpkin, so I don't want to hear about that, okay, on Thanksgiving. But I like pecan pie. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Just something about it. Man, it just reminds me of candy or something like that. Today is also Look Up at the Sky Day. Again, we would encourage you not to do this while you're driving. It is also Moment of Laughter Day. One of the things that's sadly missing is our ability to take our time and laugh. And kind of, you know, like relax and chill out. And everything's so intense and so important. It's like slow down. It is International Be Kind to a Lawyer's Day because, let's be honest, in their profession, they need a day where somebody says something nice. Just saying, you know what I'm saying? Because they always take it on the chin. And then in 1849, this day, the first edition of the Webster Dictionary came out. So it's 171 years ago, the first Webster Dictionary came out. 171 years ago. 1927, I'd say the first Volvo was manufactured. And here's a saying you should always remember. It's boxy, but it's safe. There you go. And then 1912, the sinking of the Titanic. A lot of questions as to whether they said it's such a big ship, God couldn't sink her or whatever the case may be. Doesn't matter. 1912, sinking the Titanic took place on this day, 1912. All right, we got somebody ready to answer that trivia question? They have a question, okay? So they have a question. I'll do my best to answer, see what we can come with on that. Hopefully. Okay, ready? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Troy, Dallas. Hi. Dallas, Texas.
How are you?
Hey, I want to know something. I heard somebody preaching on it here a while back. What part of the Bible does the far road from the east and the west? Is that Revelation?
Okay, do me a favor, real quick, brother. Turn your radio down. There's a little echo. So when you're, if your radio's up, that makes it a little hard for me to hear. Okay, no problem. No problem. No problem. All right, now once you get your radio down, go ahead and ask me that question again.
Okay.
Okay, fire away. Ask me that again. Something about, all I heard was east-west, so give me something on that.
Well, what scripture or what part of the Bible says afar at the end of time, afar going to clean the earth, rolling from the east and the west?
Well, yeah, that's going to be, so there's two things that can come together with that, okay? The first thing is, and they're actually just very interesting. One of those is in scripture, it talks about the Lord cleansing it from the east and the west, the north and the south, which is the horsemen going to the ends of the earth. And the reason that it uses that terminology or imagery is so that people can capture, there's not going to be any place, no small little corner, no small little anything, even though the earth is round, there's no place in the framework of earth that won't be judged by the Lord, cleansed by the Lord, purified by the Lord, and then eventually re-zapped by the Lord, so to speak, as it creates a new heaven and a new earth. But the other part of that scripture on the east-west is a good thing, and that is in the Psalms, it talks about he separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And why that's cool is because there's no actual east point or west point like there is a north pole or a south pole. So that shows you that they never touch. So in the cool sense, that's kind of a cool way to see it. But in the judgment sense, east, west, north, and south, and in fact, there's probably about 60 references to east, west, north, south throughout all the passages. And every time you hear a reference like that, or even if it's specified to an area, it's the whole geography that God is going to take and do whatever he's going to do to, be it blessing, judgment, cursing, or whatever. And so if he's going to limited, then he'll say only a third or only a fourth or only a portion. That's what you'll hear from that.
It says from the new heaven, before the new heaven comes down, he's going to cleanse the earth with fire rolling from the east and the west.
Well, that's then the question of whether that cleansing is going to take place prior to the millennium, in the millennium. And in our show, just so you can know, and it's not to be offensive, our show, we're manifold millennialists, which means we think it's all great and we want it to be the best way possible, but we acknowledge that we don't fully get how it's going to pan out, but we all want to be there.
Well, could you give me the scripture or wherever that says that far we're going to roll from the east and the west?
Sure. Do me a favor, and what I'll do is I'll put you on hold, and you can either give Terrific T a phone number or an email, and then I'll send something to you or call you and give you the direct reference after the show.
Okay, I appreciate it.
You got it. No problem, and thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless.
Yes, sir.
All right. So what we'll do is, that's the best way we can handle that. I'm not sure if I got the question exactly right, so I want to make sure I get it as right as I can. Okay, so for those that are just wondering, we did our history. I do need to finish up on the teaching, and then we do have our trivia question. So I want you to get a chance to think about that. You can still answer that. Text in if you think you know the answer. What is the chorus in Psalm 136, which is repeated in every verse? So it says the verse, and then it says the same thing at the end of every verse. I'll give you one hint. It's in the Psalms, and it's in the higher level of the Psalms. Gives you a chance to look and see. In the meantime, I don't want you to miss this. We talked about sin of self, and we talked about feeling the body. Okay? Now I want to talk to you about the three musketeers, which are the four musketeers. So they had this great saying, right? Remember the great saying? One for all and all for one. That was the great saying of the musketeers, right? Ben Franklin had a saying, we should all hang together, because if we don't, we will certainly hang separately. It's like, whoa, right? Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, as Christians, as Bible-believing, born-again Christians, whether you're Pentecostal, Baptist, Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, United Methodist, Free Will, Evangelical, you know, I can just, Assemblies of God, I just start going through the list all the way down, right? As true Bible-believing born-again Christians, when you encounter brothers and sisters, it is our call, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, to carry one another's burdens, and in this way we fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law? We love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love our neighbors, we love ourselves. That's the summation of the law. You can't love your neighbor without the power of God. You can't love God without the loving of God. So you first have to love God, then you love your neighbor, no matter what anybody says. And no, it's not,
oh, in the construction of the Greek, it's like this.
No, it's not. Okay, that's if you went to Greek 101 at a community college. This is not how it is. Here's the bottom line. We are called to carry one another's burdens. And in that second commandment, not the first commandment, but the second commandment, in doing that, the way that you do that is not as complex as we try to make it. 2 Corinthians 1:11, you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Here's what he says. You're helping us by praying for us. You want to get involved in carrying one another's burdens, and you pray for one another. Romans 15:30, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. One of the greatest ways to join in a person's burden carrying is to pray for them and make it a part of your prayer life until they get an answer. I'm going to answer the trivia. I know I got the answer here. But don't miss this. You want to carry one another's burdens? The people that God brings into your universe, your Christian world, whoever they are, brothers and sisters, and they got a burden, you pray for them. You're carrying their burden. You're fulfilling the law of Christ. You're honoring God. There you go. Okay, there you go. Mic drop. Bing. Got it? What is the chorus in Psalm 136, which is repeated in every verse? For his mercy endures forever. So it says the verse, then it goes, for his mercy endures forever. It says the verse, his mercy endures forever. It says the verse, his mercy endures forever. Okay, I had to squeeze as much of that in as I could. You know me. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here's what it says. The sure way to avoid criticism. To avoid criticism, the article says, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. That was said by a successful and innovative coach of the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team. Now, that's not the only reason I'm reading the article, not because it's just a hockey team coach thing, but here's what it says. Number one, say nothing and become the unwitting victim of everybody else's opinion or point of view. Two, do nothing and just watch life from the sidelines. Three, when our voices remain silent and our actions still, we are nothing.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I don't remember that brother that called in that had that question. What was, do you remember his name? His name was it? Troy. So I just want to give two quickie points because one thing I said was wrong because I've done that before. You know, I've been wrong before.
No.
Shook.
Actually, the abundance of north, south, east, and west references is in Ezekiel versus Revelation. So I just want to say there's a multitude more. I was correct. I did a quick check on the symbolism of east and west or east, west, north, and south, and that is every nook and cranny of the earth. So, I mean, that one, that was on target. But I did say there's a lot of references in Revelation. Actually, the abundance of Revelation is in Ezekiel. So just a little, you know, get that right. So anyway, I'll give him a call and we'll kind of get a chance to discuss. So let's do our last trivia question. Okay. You guys should know this one. I just think you're going to know it because we just went through Easter. So I feel confident for it. Who asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom? Yeah, there you go. Who asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom? I like that, the way it says that, because you know, the person it's referring to said, you know, remember me. It's like, just think about this. It's like they're saying to God, remember me. Don't forget me. Hello? Don't forget me. Remember me. Who was that who asked Jesus to remember him? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483 on the texting side of things. Okay, have we covered everything? We're going to do the... You want to do the one word? Okay. I should do this Greek word. You want to hear a Greek word? Okay, let's do a Greek word. Okay. It's like I think we need baklava. I still think we need baklava. Let me say this real quick. There's a Greek word, comes out of Mark chapter 14, verse 24, just as we do a lot of this stuff. And he said to them, this is my body, or this is my blood, sorry, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Covenant is diathake. And it is a will, a testament, a pact, a contract, an agreed-upon plan to which both parties subscribe. While the word may usually signify an agreement between two parties with each accepting mutual obligations, most often it is a declaration of one person's will. In the Bible, God initiated the whole action, set the conditions, and defined as a decree, a declaration of purpose. God covenanted with Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Israel. In the New Testament, Jesus ratified by his death on the cross the new covenant, also termed by Hebrews 7:22 as a better covenant. So that's kind of a cool way to look at it. All right. Do we have somebody that's ready to answer the question so I can stop banging into the mic? That's what I've done like six times today. That's what happens. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Troy McAllister.
What's going on? How are you?
Well, I want to answer that question about the guy. What was the question? Go ahead.
The question is, who asked Jesus to remember him? when he came into his kingdom.
Yeah, there you go. Why didn't you tell me that? It was a thief on the cross.
That is right, sir. So here you go. So you had the guy on the cross, and the one guy's like cursing out Jesus, and he's like going, what is wrong with you? We're about to die. We've done something wrong. He did nothing wrong. Another declaration of the innocence of Christ. And then he says, remember me. I love that because there's how many times I've prayed and looked up to God and said, don't forget me. Don't forget me.
I know. I hear you, and I hear you a lot on the radio, and I know a bunch of your questions, but I don't like to bore you with the answers. You know what I mean?
You didn't bore me at all. You did a great job.
I'm 82 years old, and I've heard a lot of preachers, and I've seen a lot of preachers go down the road too.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad.
Bye.
God bless you, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Love it. Good job. Yeah. All right. We're Matt. All right, so we did that Thief on the Cross. Yeah. And so, by the way, I'm not, you know, it's, you don't have to have a, when we ask a trivia question, you don't have to answer it, I'm just saying, perfectly. It could be any. You see, that's why the scripture says 20 or 30 gallons. So if you say 20, it's like good. If you say 30, it's good. Okay. Right? All right. People need to relax a little. Let's do this last segment. I think we've covered everything, right? Got the trivia done. We got this done. Yeah, we probably should. We do need. So listen, people are doing a great job giving, and I thank you, by the way. And I thank every one of you. I mean, from the depth of my heart, I do thank you. If you have an opportunity to give, you feel like the Lord's impressing that upon you, please check out the website. It's an easy way to do it. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. All right, so I only got a little bit of time, so I'm going to do the best I can on this, and most everything that I do is just the best I can, and I hope some of it's a blessing. If you get one step closer to the Lord in anything you've ever heard from this show, I win. What do I win? Doing what it is the Lord told me to do. That's the win. All right. So we were talking prior about the sin of self. And by that, I think Ace brought up a good point. The sin of the world is the rejection of Christ. I'm talking about the Christian sin. And the biggest Christian sin is just we're just self-centered. We're just focused on ourselves. It's us, us, us. The next thing we talked about was feeling the body. And it's like, just well, that just sounds really weird. Well, not if you read Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Doesn't sound weird at all. And then the last thing we just talked about was being one for all, kind of like the Christian musketeers, one for all and all for one, sharing each other's burdens, carrying each other's burdens. And we do that primarily, 2 Corinthians 1:11 and Romans 15:30, we do that primarily through prayer. That's how you do it. And the last thing I would say is that we got to do this stuff and not just hear some guy on the radio who's Jewish and has a background and has got really two weird dogs and a wonderful wife and three kids and six grandkids and shares the ups and downs and all how that goes. Just listen to me on the radio. It doesn't make any of that happen. You have to do it. James 5:13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing a song of praise. Anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders. Prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That's all fantastic, but you got to use James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It's one of the things that Jesus taught. Blesses man who hears and does. He never said blesses a man who hears and then just ignores it and runs away. You have to do. I mean, the person that hears it and does nothing is the person that builds their house upon the sand. What do you know about sandcastles that you build at the beach? You build a castle. We build a moat. We build a moat around our castle. Why are we building the moat? Because we know that the bigger wave's coming in. What happens when the big wave comes in? Just wipes everything out. Just ruins it all. Ha! What are you going to do? Nothing. That's what the person's like who's trying to listen to the words of Jesus and do nothing. Instead, it's like, you got to do it. And so here's a practicality. Somebody who's a believer in the Lord that you may know through other means, either through radio or through other fellowships or at your church, preferably your church, ask them a couple questions about how they're doing. and just make a commitment saying, I'm going to do my try and do a better job of bearing the burden with you on anything you're going through. What can I pray for you? And then every day for 5 seconds, pray for that person. And then check in with the person. How you doing? How's it going? What's happening? So you can be updated and know if you need to change how you pray. That's how you practically do it. But you got to step into somebody else's universe to do it, which means we have to step out of our universe and step into somebody else's, at least for a moment. I'm not saying you never think about yourself, so don't get weird on me. But you do, James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Start with one person, one burden, one prayer, one thing, and watch. You know who the best teacher in all this stuff is the Lord. The Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you how to and how what happens, and maybe it'll go from 5 seconds to 10 seconds. Who knows? Maybe God will actually answer your prayer on the behalf for somebody else, because when you pray for other people, your faith always seems to go up a tick or two. Maybe that prayer is what they need. They didn't know there's somebody cares and somebody bears that burden. Somebody loves them. Could be the difference for them getting through strong and testifying or barely scraping by. I don't know. But the Lord does. So to find a person to have that burden, to bear that burden. You got to get out of sin of self, feel the body. It's a one-for-all scenario, and put it into action. Do something with it. And I'm not just teaching, saying this to you. It's me too. And I tend to, I focus in on the people that I'm connected to. I just pray for the people on the radio show. Yeah, that's really cute, Dave, except that's probably not what Jesus had in mind. Probably should expand that a little. Probably. I mean, that's just the truth. So if you're in that place and you haven't done a lot of that expansion, expand it one person at a time, one burden at a time, one prayer at a time. I don't know. That seems practical. Does that seem crazy? That seems crazy. All right. What do we got? Is that it? I think we're pretty much done. Yeah? All right. You doing all right? Doing okay? I'm just making sure. All right. I have to check on T, make sure she's doing okay. All right, folks.
I like dropped everything under here, so I'm trying to fix it.
That's nice that you do. Why would you do that? All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.